Well, Merry Christmas Eve. Yesterday, my phone exploded. I don't know if you know what that reference is, but it means when you get a lot of text messages or you get a lot of notifications. And the theme of it all was Merry Christmas Eve, Eve. And I was like, oh, there's a Christmas Eve, Eve now. Interesting. But what I love about Christmas Eve, Eve, is I was so excited to see each and every person who texted me that, who put that on my Facebook, or I saw it on Facebook, this great expectation of expecting a Savior, the coming Messiah. So good words. Merry Christmas Eve, Eve. Today, Merry Christmas Eve. The ladies read the Christmas story to you all, Luke chapter 2, 1 through 20. If you wanted to follow along, you can open up there. But this text, it seems like there should be a heading or a news flash right before it. God has found favor with the world. God loves us. What good news! What a message! Millions of Christians have gathered, continue to gather, and will gather to celebrate Christ being born. God coming into the world. In fact, some faith communities keep vigil overnight to usher in, metaphorically speaking, the birth of Christ and the reception of a Savior. I've spent this past month, this past December, pondering the Christmas story. I've been thinking of what the Christmas story means and how to allocate my time during the Christmas season. Wondering if I give enough time simply to contemplating and meditating on this simple Christmas message and the coming of our Savior. I really started pondering Christmas when I watched the Nativity story in late November. And then the youth group went to a live nativity in Middleburg. And then we were officially in the season of Advent, or the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas. And then there was the Christmas cantata, which many of us were involved in. Many instances have caught my attention and have provoked me to ponder the Christmas story. As I pondered and contemplated and read this passage from Luke, I asked two questions of this passage. How do the characters in this story receive and respond to the good news that a Savior, that the Messiah was born? And what do I know of holy? Or what do I know of God with Christ coming? You see, Israel was expecting a Messiah. Too long have they been in bondage under Rome. Too long have they gone without a prophet. Too long have they gone without a judge. Too long have they gone without a king. They wanted freedom from bondage and affliction. They wanted freedom. And so we see the response of those who were there that night. The angel multitude and heavenly host's response was praise and adoration. They said and they sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace towards those whom he favors." The shepherds received the good news by going to the baby who the angels were talking about, and then returning, glorifying and praising God for everything that they had heard and seen. Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The response of the people who were intimately involved in the Christmas story was to glorify God, to praise God, and give God their adoration. Why should our response be any less? How do we receive and respond to the Christmas story, to the Christmas message, year in and year out? Does it become dull and boring? Or does it fuel the flame of the Spirit of God within us to be a beacon of Christ's hope, grace, and love in our area of influence? The second question I asked of the Christmas story is, what do I know of holy? What do I know of God? What do I know about God? Some of you, maybe many of you, have heard a song on WGRC by Addison Road. It's called "What Do I Know of Holy?" It's kind of been my Christmas theme song this year. It goes something like this. I made you promises 1,000 times. I tried to hear from heaven, but I talked the whole time. I think I've made you too small. I've never feared you at all. If you touched my face, would I know you? Looked into my eyes, could I behold you? So what do I know of you who spoke me into motion? Where have I even stood but the shores along your ocean? Are you fiery? Are you fire? Or are you fury? Are you scared? Are you sacred? Are you beautiful? So what do I know? What do I know of holy? I guess I thought that I had figured you out. I knew all the stories and I learned to talk about how you were mighty to save. Those were the only empty words on a page. Then I caught a glimpse of who you might be. The slightest hint of you brought me down to my knees. Chorus 2 goes on to read, what do I know of holy? What do I know of the wounds that will heal my shame? And a God who gave life its name. What do I know of holy? Of the one who angels praise, all creation knows your name. On earth and heaven above, what do I know of this love? I think the Christmas story causes us to look deeply and ask seriously, what do we really know of holy? What do we know about God? Another gospel helps us answer this question with probably the most well-known passage from the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. What we learn from the Christmas story about God is that he loves us. And he loves us so much that he refuses to leave us in our state of sin, in our state of fracture from him. And thinking about love, have you ever thought of the way Jesus comes into the world? He comes as a baby in complete and sincere vulnerability. Last Saturday, at a family Christmas gathering, I had the opportunity to hold an infant cousin of mine. Her name was baby Nora. Nora's only 10 months old, and She's so precious and innocent. But she's vulnerable too. Babies are completely vulnerable, needing the nurturing and aid of parents and a community to grow strong. God sent his son to enter into danger and into the muck and mire of human life. Complete vulnerability. Indescribable love. Christmas love, veiled in flesh. God reaches into the world in love so that he, if we are open to it, can reach into our lives and love us and transform us. The advent of Jesus Christ is God reaching into the world, reaching into the depths of our being. He loves us so much. God reaches into our hurt, into our pain, into our suffering, into our brokenness, into our broken relationships, into our addictions, into our pride, into our utter selfishness, and says, "Dear one, I love you. I love you so much. I refuse to leave you this way. I refuse to abandon you. I want to transform you." This Christmas, can we receive and respond to the Christmas message with praise and adoration for God's indescribable love for us, that he would come, he would reach into every crevice of our soul and being to love us and to transform us. This Christmas season and into the new years ahead, will you give God praise and adoration for his love? And will you allow his Christmas love veiled in flesh to transform you and inhabit you? Will you be vulnerable as Christ was vulnerable and allow God to move and work in your life, whether you have been a Christian all your life or you just accepted Christ as your Savior or you don't know him at all or anywhere else on that spectrum? God's love is for all of us. God continues to transform us. God loves us. He wants to transform us. He wants to use us. Will we let him? Gracious, loving God, I give you thanks and praise for this day, for this Christmas Eve, for your coming into the world, for loving us, for wanting to transform us, for not wanting to leave us alone. You chase after us, Lord God. This Christmas, may we find ourselves praising you and adoring you for what you have done. Be with us the rest of this Christmas season, and in the new years to come, guide and protect our lives. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.